This is Tom from Evergreen, and I get Tyson Rock.
The Right to Rock.
Studios in Houston, Texas. You're listening to the Right to Rock podcast, the only heavy metal and hard rock show on the net made by fans for fans. And now, get ready for two guys that are so metal, they pour motor oil on their cereal. It's Genghis and Rockman!
Daily.
Yeah, how many times you failed us. That's kind of your career.
Really funny. That's really funny.
And true.
have to agree.
Oh, okay.
Shut up, Pimples, you fuckface.
Oh. Well, dissension in the ranks.
Jesus.
The fuck?
Are you coughing up a fucking furball or something?
No, or a lung, I hope. I mean, fear.
Boys, I appreciate the concern, but I'm fine.
Damn it. All right, well, there
I'm going to go with the camper. And, I'm going to go get a little comfortable.
Right, then.
Okay, thank you. John, will you follow him? But just make sure all the shit's in play here.
Yeah, no shit. Make sure our shit's together and ready to go.
And thank you for bringing the video screen out here. That was nice. A nice little touch over there.
That is good. That's a nice
cool.
Getting a good view out here.
Yeah, we got a little Judas Priest, 2011, High Voltage.
Exactly.
Tape that off a little thing off the TV over there.
Because they got the new one coming out soon, right? Or is
what's that?
The new album, Judas Priest.
Where have you been? Under a rock?
Yeah.
Redeemer of Souls, Holmes!
Exactly.
It's been out for months.
Months?
Yeah, months. Yes.
How is it?
Goodbye.
The fact that I haven't fucking heard from it tells me how it's going. Because it ain't exactly lighting up the charts. Although I gotta admit, I think I've said it before, I like that new guitarist. I'm not saying that he, you know, we don't need old boy anymore, but I'm just saying it's like he's got to be replaced.
And Genghis.
This is a talented guitarist. Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt. Yes, it's not something I do.
Right.
Except would you say you're into him because he's kind of cute?
No.
You said you were into him.
I'm into his playing. Sorry, I wasn't clear enough.
You said into him.
As in his him. Playing. As an artist.
Him.
As an artist.
Get out of here, you fuckhead.
Yeah, go take some Vicks 44D.
Shit.
No, they got a brand new record.
A record over there.
Brand new. Months? Brand new.
Months. Yeah, forget
but brand
about
new
it.
Other ones.
Look at you. You know, I swore I thought you were a fan, but, I mean, I was wrong.
I was a fan of the old Judas Priest.
I didn't know there's no new stuff on that.
No, I mean, I haven't. Is this the first album with the new lineup?
Yeah. Yeah, with Richie.
Because, I mean, the thing, we say that, but, I mean, the motherfucker's been playing with him for a long time now, hasn't he? I mean, I remember the first hearing about
a strong word.
Yeah, I remember first hearing about him when they played that one song on, what was it, American Idol or whatever the fuck it was.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, and I already knew that old boy was leaving, and then I saw this dude, I go, oh, that must be the new dude, and I saw him playing, I was like, motherfucker's pretty good.
So I think he's kind of cute, I do.
And then the thing is, it's like,
been out since July.
How much fucking, yeah. That's July. The album, but how long is homeboy with him? He's been with him a long time. I think he's been like, well, 2 or 3 years, right?
2, 3.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Your face, your ass. What's the difference? No, I'm just like, fuck, dude. It's about time. He's been with him that long and just now gets on the album. It took him a while to put that shit out.
Well, I mean, I basically said, we're going to hang it up, Ron. And they didn't hang it up.
No,
not gonna hang up the studs yet. Just shit. And the whip.
And it was clear, yeah.
The anal beads.
I don't know what the fuck it is. But, I mean, Downey left when? With like 11?
Was it?
2011? Which is
so
like
3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time. Yeah, here it is. I mean, Judas Priest played during the finale of American Idol Season 10. This was on May 25th, 2011.
Was
so he was already there? He was already with the band. It's the first performance... Their first live performance without KK, and they played a couple of songs, Living After Midnight, Breaking the Law, and this is their first album with the new dude since then? I mean, that's a
right.
long fucking time.
Well, they toured. They did the, I forget the name of the tour. It was a cool tour.
The Epitaph?
Yeah, Epitaph.
Tour, I guess it was. Epitaph, of course, being a fitting term, as in the death of something that goes
yeah.
on the tombstone. It's like, but it's not the end, so that was a weird kind of thing to call themselves.
What was that?
Probably just some devil dog.
No shit. It probably wasn't a good idea to... Well, to preface what's going on here, guys, I don't think we really explained it. And, of course, John's not going to be much help. We've decided to record a show, which will either air post or prior Halloween night, 2014.
Depending on how things go.
We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
We have reason to believe this could be our most dangerous mission yet.
Yes, yes.
Is that what
yes.
you're trying to say?
Yeah, we don't want to give up what we're going to do. We'll do that on the Halloween show. Let's yeah. just say it involves a chainsaw. Is that giving too much away?
Maybe.
Maybe.
To all three listeners, yeah. They'll be
What's
disappointed.
What's up with that rabid dog back there?
I don't know.
Should we shoot it?
Yeah, why not?
I'll fire off a shot on
him. See if it makes him run away.
I don't hear nothing.
Hey, that scared the fuck out of him.
I mean, it should. As it should. As it should.
As well it should.
I tell you what, since you have not heard any new Priest,
yeah.
which, I mean, you call yourself a metal fan, I'm starting to question.
Oh, shit.
How about Howls of Valhalla?
As clearly as you said that, yeah, let's do it.
Thank you.
there. There's your priest for you. What do you think?
With old Richie?
Richie. He wants to be called Richie Rich. No. He's a huge Richie Rich cartoon fan.
Not Ricky. Little Ricky.
Yeah. Well, he wants to be Richie Rich.
Little Ricky Faulkner Holmes. Little Lord Fauntleroy Holmes. When's the last time you heard from Little Lord Fauntleroy?
Well, I heard on this current tour he's going to cut his hair short. And he's going to wear a little Richie Rich outfit.
You know, speaking of...
What do you think about that?
It's fantastic. Speaking of little boy outfits, little boy outfits, which makes you think of Angus Young. You heard about
Malcolm?
Yeah.
Dementia Holmes.
I know. I was like, what the fuck?
They're all out to kill me, right?
No, so I feel demented. Angus is like, I think this motherfucker's demented.
That's horrible, though, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's kind of scary, yeah.
And well, we make fun, we're just because we're douchebags. But...
Well, but also, too, it's not that we don't. I mean, no. We love Malcolm, dude. AC/DC is one of the all-time greatest, mm-hmm. you know, hard rocking bands of all time.
You want to do some AC/DC?
Yeah, let's do that. We got to.
How about Let's Get It Up?
Let's do it.
Love that riff.
Because what's funny is as long as I've known AC/DC, I didn't recognize that song, but it was in, what was that, Road Trip? It's a movie they did, and that was, God, I gotta look that up, because I heard that and I was like, dude, that sounds like an AC/DC riff, and you know, dumbass that I am, any AC/DC, real AC/DC fan would have recognized it right away, but...
Yeah, dude.
Fucking love that.
Isn't that fucking cool? Should we? I wonder if Brian's. Well, if he were in the studio, Brian would probably be around.
The man?
Yeah. Okay, I just had to hear my.
Well, the only reason I know it is because, like I said, as long as I've been a fan of AC/DC and I've listened to a lot of shit, I learned to play a lot of their fucking songs.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw the movie. What was it called? Sex Drive. You ever seen that movie?
Sex Drive.
Where the dude's dressed up in the fucking as a donut with a little sombrero on.
Huh.
And he goes on a road trip. I can't even remember what it was for.
Is it new?
Seth Green was in it. No, it came out like in 2008.
Sex Drive.
No, but I saw it because
mm-hmm.
she's in it. And I got excited. I was like, what is this? And I saw it on Netflix when it was out. And I was like... And so anyway, it's this ridiculous movie about, you know, your classic kind of teen sex comedy.
Oh, yeah, and those are awesome.
Yeah, they're always fun. So I said, I'll check this out. And in it, he, like, steals his brother's car. He's got this badass, like, fucking Dodge, you know, 70s Dodge Charger or something, you know, with a classic fucking muscle car.
You know, I think
car.
I might have seen this movie.
And what's funny is...
I did see this movie.
Yeah, and every
time...
It was
funny.
Well, yeah, it's a good movie. But what's funny is every time they showed the car, you heard...
I was like,
that's a cool riff, and I thought it sounds so much like AC/DC, dumbass, and I am, and I realized, oh, that's a classic. Because in all the AC/DC songs I've ever heard, I've never heard that song.
Really?
How have I never heard that song?
Oh, it's a great tune.
I've owned a bunch of their albums, and I've never heard that fucking song.
Like, oh, it was a prequel to, or it was, not the prequel, it was a sequel to Back in Black,
oh,
for those about to rock.
Because I had, where I first started getting into AC/DC, because I know they'd been around forever,
yeah.
And I heard of them, but I didn't really know the music. You know, the obvious Back in Black. And then, for I don't remember, I think it was after Maximum Overdrive came out, the soundtrack for Maximum Overdrive. But there was, like, nothing but AC/DC songs, the whole fucking album.
Yeah, they did the whole soundtrack.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, I was jamming to it. And then after that, I said, well, I'm going to get a Best of AC/DC album. Because back then, this was all on cassette.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked that up, and I learned a bunch, you know, Sync the Pink, all these old fucking songs. And getting into them, Hell's Bells and everything. That wasn't on there. I'm like, why the fuck isn't it on there if it's such a great fucking classic tune?
Yeah.
So it's weird. In any of the Best of AC/DC albums I've ever listened to, it's never on there.
That's one of my favorite songs.
I know. Yeah. It's a great fucking riff. It's a classic fucking riff. So that's where I first heard it, was in that movie.
Nice.
2008.
Well, I tell you what,
like, why did it take that long to learn it?
We're out and about.
Yeah.
I don't know if John can do this.
Yeah.
John. It's just mouthful.
You know shit.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what you doing? Eating hot dogs or something back there?
Twinkies.
I'm sure. I'm sure your life involves a lot of Twinks.
The fucking Twinkies.
What do you fucking assholes want?
What, are you busy or something? You're supposed to be... You work for us, asshole.
I'm loading my gun, if you know what I'm saying.
I'm afraid I might... That's what scares the shit out of me.
Are you out of ammo at the moment?
Give me 15 minutes. I'll be reloaded.
Jesus.
You and what's Pimples up to?
He's sleeping.
Uh-huh. Falls right asleep afterwards, that, every time.
I don't know what you're implying. It doesn't sound correct, though.
Hey, dude, can you just play the beer music?
I don't know if I can punch that in. Hold on. What's this button?
I tell you what, so let's get some brew here. We probably should have a beer before we go out hunting, right?
I think it's a good idea.
All right, let's do this.
It's just as effective as this is in the studio.
Ooh, I cheated. I'm sorry, Holmes.
Why, Holmes?
Oh, wow. Oh,
is this what I think it is?
Yeah.
All right.
It smells like peanut butter, Holmes. All right, here we go. Over here.
Yeah, prepare my glass.
All right, let's do this right. Let's do this right.
Share the wealth over there.
So, hey, we were talking about burgers tonight. Before we left the compound, we had grilled burgers.
You know what? We figure we always eat, do it up because we figure this could be our last meal.
Right.
So we always do a really nice meal.
So you said you went to the Eat place, right?
Well, you said that you had gone, and I said, yeah. Oh, I know that place because there's one downtown.
Yeah.
And I've eaten there.
It's for assholes.
For assholes. Well, you like to eat asshole. Apparently, there's... I saw online somewhere, there's a renaissance of analingus.
Analingus? What the fuck is that?
Renaissance eating ass.
Ha.
I know, I'm like, you know, I'm cool.
I'm
cool
done. I'm not going to know. Thank you.
Never
no,
try
no.
it. Never going to.
What about, you think turtle head would be
I don't even want my own ass eat.
I
don't need nobody tossing myself.
What about turtle head? He loves the chicken ass.
Turtle loves the chicken ass, so he probably would like that.
I hate to even bring this up.
Uh-uh.
But due to contractual obligations, something we apparently signed but don't remember.
Isn't that always how it works?
After the Halloween show, if we make it out live, we're now going to have sponsors.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah.
Gladys, who's also our HR director, she informed me that this was coming down the pike.
Yeah. We own this show.
I know. We fucking created this whole fucking thing.
but we don't get to do nothing.
No joke.
Everyone tells us what to do.
So, due to our legal responsibilities and contractual obligations, unfortunately, you guys are going to have to deal with commercials from time to time within the show. Kind of helps us and keep going.
This should be coming up soon, yeah. Our first.
Were you told that there's going to be any sort of payment? I haven't.
No, which, of course, usually means there ain't going to be no fucking payment.
Right.
But, I mean, for what it's worth, we don't have to do anything, right? We just have to say, now our new sponsor, whatever, and then they just plug them in.
I heard through McCheese,
uh-huh.
He said, let's not be hasty, boys. I was like, there's this one of us right here. Yeah. King is in here. Don't be a smartass.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what are you getting at?
The fuck is your deal?
Yeah. And he's like, we're in pre-production for the commercials for your show.
Uh-huh.
If said production of said commercials is not complete.
This guy.
It's like, what are you talking about?
I don't know. You fucking side-talking motherfucker.
I was like, said? Are you like allegedly having commercial? What's going on? He's like, you may be required to read with total professionality these commercials from our sponsors who keep this place going.
See, my understanding was they're already pre-recorded. We just punch them in.
McCheese said
maybe some of them
they
will
were
be,
within
some of them
pre-production.
Not. Okay. So we may end up having to do some of these fuckers ourselves.
Yes, live.
I heard one of them, Bane told me about it.
Uh-huh.
And he said one of them is his new company. So I'm like, all right, let's...
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Muffins?
Yep.
Oh, he nice. Said,
he went ahead like Famous Amos.
Yeah?
He went in and started his
own fucking...
Otis
Spunkmeyer type?
Yeah, that kind of deal. He's got like his fucking some sort of Bane's old-fashioned muffins or some shit. So I'm like, one of our first commercials is that. So I'm like, oh, fuck. All right, so we'll have to see how it goes. Maybe it'll be good.
Well, I heard John's got one.
Yeah?
McCheese has somehow said, I've got something I need you to read. You don't pay attention to what you're reading.
Uh-huh.
Just read it properly. See, we'll all be okay.
See, it sounds like you and me should never try to imitate these guys.
No.
They just horrible. We sound ridiculous.
Yeah, we do.
So, but in any case, I'll be interested to hear what they have. I mean, if they're not too outrageous, fuck it. What do I care? Hey, maybe that means some money will come in.
Yeah, maybe we'll get paid for once.
We might be able to pay somebody. Like
yeah,
John.
Exactly.
We might be able to give him real money. If you can be excited about that.
Exactly. So, we opened a beer. Yeah. What are we drinking over there?
This, my friend, as I have mentioned before tonight, I'm pretty fucking excited about.
Me too.
This is the another Clown Shoes entry. We've had Clown
Shoes
before.
Love the Clown Shoes.
Yeah, they do a lot of good stuff. This one, another seasonal offering. This one is the Pecan Pie Porter.
Nice.
I mean, can you even believe that? I mean, just the sound of it is fucking ridiculous. I think it's based on their infamous Genghis Pecan.
That is incredible. Did you ever have that?
No, I don't remember if we... Did we ever have it on the show? Because that's the only place I would have had it.
Oh, it's... Well, I don't know. I know I picked it up. Actually, you told me about it, and the label was awesome. It had, like, Genghis Khan with, like, pecans or something like that.
And, of course, wearing the clown shoes.
Yeah. Because
that's just... Yeah, they're like the Playboy Bunny. It's like every label has to have clown shoes in it somewhere.
Yeah.
It's
awesome. They're awesome, man.
Well, this one is a variation on that. The Pecan Pie Porter, which supposedly has been retired and is no longer brewed. So I guess I must have been lucky to find this. It's like a 7% ABV American porter.
Nice.
And I'm kind of fucking excited about it. I really am. I can't wait to learn more about this thing. It is, like I said, it's based on the Genghis Pecan. It's an American porter style beer by Clown Shoes. It is got a very pecan pie sort of aroma. That's just the Genghis Pecan. The actual Genghis Pecan Pie Porter. They often, these guys at Clown Shoes will take an existing beer and sort of alter it in a way. Usually, kind of they'll put it in a like bourbon barrels or something for a year,
modify it somehow.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's pretty good. The commercial description, it reads thusly: our new Pecan Pie Porter
no longer uses extract, but rather brown sugar and pecans roasted by friends at the Gallows in Boston. Buddy Hadry, a rep at Bella Vista in Pennsylvania, gave me the name for this beer, the second pecan beer now that he has named. Thank you, Buddy. So, shit, I think we should just kind of dive
in. Have you ever had the Southern Pecan?
I have not.
It's not Southern Tier, is it?
I think it might be. So I think that
their pecan brown ale is fucking phenomenal.
I think, though, nothing has ever come close to the pecan, the original pecan we had back in the day when we started this podcast.
Was it Tommy Knight?
Remember that? No, I don't even remember. I think it was like Longshot.
Longshot, you're right. You're right.
And they had won an award. We saw it. This was back at Belden's, you know, way back in the day, like 2006 or 2007. That thing was fucking phenomenal. It was like a perfect dessert beer. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was fucking amazing. Fantastic. It was coffee and pecan kind of put together. And what's funny is now one of my favorite coffees, when I ever get coffee at the local kolache shop. You people not from Texas don't know what kolaches are, probably, but trust me, if you're from Texas, everybody knows what a kolache is, and they're fucking great breakfast food.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the Kolache Factory here in Houston, as I do for breakfast every morning, they have Katz's coffee, and my favorite flavor that they have is a pecan coffee. It's this pecan roast. It's fucking delicious. Texas pecan, I think it's called. It's fucking delicious, dude.
Oh, nice.
So, I'm a big pecan coffee fan, and that's what that long shot was like. It was like coffee pecan flavored, and it was fucking phenomenal, as you recall.
And I fucked up. The one I was talking about is called the Southern Pecan, made by Lazy Magnolia.
Oh, it's Lazy Magnolia? Okay.
It's a really good beer.
Well, this one here, I guess what we're establishing is pecan beers can be pretty damn tasty, and Texas is just fucking lousy with pecans.
Yeah.
You got pecan trees everywhere. So, and notice we're saying it properly, pecan. If you hear someone say pecan, slap them across the head and say, sorry.
Pecan pie.
I know, pecan.
Pecan pie.
It's pecan. You gotta say
pecan. No kidding.
Overall, they get a 94 over at Rate Beer. The style itself gets a 95.
Nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, we shouldn't fuck around. We should get into this guy.
Let's do the lookage
here.
A little dark out here.
Yeah, it's a little dark out here, but we got a... Gosh, that sucker is dark.
You
should have
got John to turn on the camper lights.
It's dark.
We're in a Winnebago-type thing tonight.
Beautiful,
so.
Kind of very dark copper color.
Yeah, totally.
Hardly any.
A little bit lacing. Lacing.
A little bit of kind of a sudsy lacing.
Yeah.
Let's give that, what, a like 3?
Yeah, 3.
So let's give it an aroma.
Oh, that smells good, dude.
Oh, it's nice.
3.5 to 4.
A little brown, sugary, roasty kind of thing going.
Brown sugar.
Let's do a little 3 on that one. Let's go for the taste. Let's hit it. Nice.
That's good.
That's nice. Good cigar beer.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
That's nice. Ooh, that's nice and smooth.
Strong, though. What's ABV?
7.
That's not that bad.
But it's got a good, maybe that's a good thing. I mean, we always tend to, goofy guys that we are, we always get excited about a high ABV as long as it doesn't taste too alcoholic.
Yeah, totally.
As if somehow that makes it a better beer. But, you know, some of the lower ABVs are actually really delicious.
Right.
And in fact, they're kind of better because you can sip of them and not feel like it's knocking you the fuck out.
Right.
So, 7
this
is probably.
This one here, though, for a 7, it's still up there. I mean, if you think about just traditional,
you think of your average,
3.5.
Yeah, your average beer is like 3 to 5%,
like
a Bud Light or something like that that most people are used to. 7 is up there without, like I say, being too punchy.
Hey, I know it's not time for our Halloween show to begin, but are you hearing some like someone trying to start a tractor or a lawnmower or something?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't sound the best.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay.
Have we mentioned anything about that? Should we get into that?
I don't know. I mean, it's not time yet, but this is just kind of like a precursor,
a
preemptive kind of strike type thing.
Shit goes down.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is the most iffy things we've ever been before.
We've never done a show like this before where we do it before Halloween. We just thought, well, hey, we're here early. Usually we're just brink of time, you know, fighting zombies, but... As you'll hear in the Halloween show, the zombie infestation's kind of slowed down, and we've decided to tackle something a little bit different this year. So,
is what you would say. We're victims of our own success.
Right.
We're so badass. We got so many people working with us. But, you know, hey, let's move forward. The beer, I think, to finish it up, taste, I would give it a 3.
3, yeah.
Mouth feel, maybe also a 3.
Kind of watery, but kind of a mix between the two.
Yeah, comfortable mix. Maybe, like I say, a 3 on that one, too, maybe?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, where do we go from here?
I tell you what, let's, coming out of the beer here, let's play a little tunage. What do you think over there?
You know, I recently reviewed the Orange Goblin.
The Orange Goblin, right?
Yeah, I have to admit, back when we named one of our famous beer floats after the Orange Goblin guys, I didn't know them that well. I knew of the name, and it seemed to fit, so I used it. But I didn't know so much about them, and I've since come to... I've done a review of their latest album, which is, I think, Back from the Abyss.
Mm-hmm.
Came out recently, like September, October, somewhere around there. It's they're a UK band, for those who don't know. Heavy metal band in the classic sense. Kind of a Motorhead-style band.
Sure, nice.
Kind of psychedelic stoner rock.
I've heard a little bit of their stuff. Yeah, it's kind of that psychedelic stoner rock.
Actually really good. So something off of that Back from the Abyss would be a really nice choice. Let's maybe do a dealer's choice.
Let's do it. So they're going home with a positive report card.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's my first real sort of exposure to the band at large and hearing what they sound like. And if that's what their music is generally like, then I'm a fan. Sign me up.
Cool.
Because I dig them.
Well, I felt like playing something a little bit new, if you don't mind over there.
Hey, please do.
New band I discovered. Actually, this track's the one that I discovered them on. And then realized how freaking heavy these guys can be. Nice. So. You look at them, you're like, hey, it's a bunch of kids it is. But then you hear the music, you're like, I don't care. and that's something we'll talk about in our topic here. But tell you what, this is Islander off their brand new record called Violence and Destruction. This is called Coconut Dracula.
Okay. We'll be right back.
I don't know if you have a topic, and this is kind of a loose-based topic. I don't know if it's something we can really grind on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and we've talked about this before. How many bands are out there today where they're kind of faceless? Where you hear a song, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Or you hear a record, maybe. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But there's no real desire to say, what do these guys look like? What do I want to see a video of these guys playing music?
Mm-hmm.
Or you remember back in the day? Back in the day, it was Kiss. You know, they had the image. There's Triumph. There's the three guys on the stage. There's Iron Maiden. You know, but Iron Maiden came in around the video age for me.
And I think that's a big part of it, going by what you're saying. I think that about the time that I started getting into metal, I know you were into them slightly before, but I didn't start getting into metal until like the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, of course, when MTV took off.
Right.
So MTV became, very quickly, considering that it was a brand new technology slash sort of genre of music or whatever, it was so new and so amazing, it sort of took the world by storm, and videos sort of sprung up overnight. Now, obviously, if you go back and look at the early videos, they sucked. Because mm-hmm. nobody knew what to do with this new format. But the point is, it was clearly something people were like, this is the new thing, let's get into this. And so what happened was, is music became so closely associated with visual for the first time.
Right.
Music beforehand was just headphones and let's jam.
Oh, the radio.
And that was it, or the radio. So you could hear a band, know them for years if you never went to a concert, and have no idea what they looked like. For all you knew, they were a bunch of robots.
Mm-hmm.
You just knew the music. But now with MTV and with videos, it was like it was all about the visual. Like, here's what they look like. So you needed this video presence, and you started to really associate. I mean, look at any of Ozzy's videos. He came in right about the video age and really started hitting it big. In fact, his biggest success probably, I would say, arguably, was that video age. When he really, all of his videos, they're not just simple.
But his first video was probably Bark at the Moon.
That's what I mean.
If you think about it.
That's what I mean. Right out of the gate. When Ozzy said, I'm a video guy, mm-hmm. and here's my stuff, it was already, he wasn't just guys on stage singing, mm-hmm. you know, it's a fucking video. It's like, here's a story, here's characters, here's me in full makeup. Mm-hmm. It was very visual. So, a really strong visual presence.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know, but it scared the fuck out of me.
Oh, I think it's a Winnebago or yeah, a camper or whatever.
Yeah, I guess they started up the generator to...
What the fuck are they doing?
They're just bored in there, yeah. So it's like, we need stuff to happen.
You know what? I see somebody's pacing back and forth in there constantly.
I don't know what's going on. Maybe his ass hurts or something. I don't know. He's tired of sitting down. But you know what I'm saying? So my point is, the visual became really highly tied to the music. It wasn't just music anymore,
right.
Just all oral. It was started to be visual, too. So it's interesting, the idea that there were still bands that maybe didn't get into the videos right away, still churning out albums, but you still had no idea, what do these guys fucking look like? If you didn't see them in concert, you had no fucking idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, I wonder if it weren't for videos, if any of those other bands, like, would Ozzy be as big as he is today if MTV had never happened and it was just straight radio?
I don't know. I would
I think
have
it really helped him a lot.
I think it
visual.
Helped him. But if you think about back in the day, and I remember, because I was, when Diary of a Madman came out, I was in eighth grade.
Uh-huh.
And I knew a lot of friends going to Ozzy.
Uh-huh.
Motley Crue was opening up.
Oh, nice. What a bill that was.
And I saw Motley Crue on their solo tour before they joined the Ozzy tour.
Oh, sweet.
On Shout the Devil.
I was going to say Shout the Devil, yeah.
And
perfect tour to see him on, too.
I remember Crazy Train, uh-huh. even before Diary came out,
uh-huh.
was big on the radio.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And then Diary of Mad Men came out, and Over the Mountain, just the album exploded. Huge album. I'm sure it helped him, especially maybe not so much on Bark at the Moon, but maybe more on The Ultimate Sin.
Uh-huh.
I think he did better on. I mean, I'm trying to think back. I remember MTV being on and seeing this, watching the shit out of this Paul Di'Anno Iron Maiden Killers concert.
Uh-huh. You're a huge fan of that album.
Oh, yeah, I love Killers. But
then seeing the video a year or so later with Bruce Dickinson fronting the band for Run to the Hills.
Right.
That's one of the first videos I kind of remember way back seeing.
Uh-huh.
Was it 82 or something like that?
I think it was about right.
And then you had Rush, but it was all live stuff from like whatever. But there was a one video for Tom Sawyer where they were in the studio, like recording the song and stuff. I remember hearing stuff like that. Or Judas Priest was one of the early ones for like Breaking the Law, and they had a video. I think they had one for Living After Midnight,
uh-huh.
and then on Heading Out to the Highway from Point of Entry.
Nice.
Golly, what a great record that was.
The first video, I have to say, in terms of video, which is the first way I knew Judas Priest, I didn't hear him on the radio, was Hot Rockin'.
Hot Rockin'?
Yeah, I remember that. Just him just going with the water on the rocks, you know, in the sauna room or whatever.
Hey,
Hot Rockin'. Yeah.
What do you want?
Hey, I just wanted to say, you guys were talking about Priest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot Rockin', right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool song. We should probably play it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we'll get to that.
But you have some point to make.
Yeah, exactly. What's your point?
I'm just saying. The video, right?
Yeah, what about it?
How many times did you turn off the lights to that one?
What are you talking about?
I don't know why I'd turn off lights to a video. TV has its freeze. Own light.
Yeah. Well, what are you getting at?
Oh, nothing. I'm just saying that the workout scene was pretty cool.
Pretty cool, huh? Working out is pretty cool in a metal video.
I can't guess I know you watched it like I did.
I don't know. I'm not going to agree to that one. I watched it. How did I don't know you... if I watched it like you did.
Did you watch it? It kind of admiring what was going on?
Admiring the music, yes.
What about the actual working out?
I don't know why I'd admire that.
You know, Rob was without a shirt. I don't even remember that part, do you?
I don't remember either. My mind must have blocked it out.
What?
I say my mind must have blocked it out, because I, you know, sure. I'm not concerned with guys working out.
You need therapy.
I don't think I do.
We'll talk about it when we get back to the show, studio.
I'm thinking we won't.
Shit.
Not sure we
won't forget this whole conversation.
That's right. In fact, I will pretend it never happened. I will adamantly deny
it. What did Pimples just do with the little camper thing?
Not sure. That guy's fucking with every switch in there.
But I don't
He's
know.
Like, did you guys give him speed?
No.
No?
That motherfucker's going crazy.
Ah, shit. Fuck. I wonder if he made it into...
It's probably not a bad thing.
Might he's going to be into running around here. Pills.
Yeah.
My Dexatrim.
He was drinking that in coffee. With these little pills? Is that Dexatrim?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah. I don't know what they look like, but... We'll assume so. So he's on a caffeine buzz. That's great. That motherfucker will be laughing the whole time he's getting chased
like
by
that. Yeah, like he doesn't already.
And he's like,
the thing is, you know, the more I think about it, I don't think he'd turn that off. That's what's kind of worrying me.
Yeah, that's weird. John, go check it out, will you? Let us do our show, please.
Yes, please do that. And keep your eyes closed while you go.
Done and done.
Excellent.
Don't trip over your jock. Pull that fucking thing up, will you? That's gross.
Call me the light.
that, you know.
So we're talking about the video age, yeah, really, and when these bands got started and stuff like that. And, I mean, if you think back to the early 80s when MTV started, and MTV, everybody's hashed out, it's not the same thing, which it's not. It's not even close. But there's avenues for music, like classic, the VH1 Classic, and YouTube, really, has taken over, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it's certainly, to put it this way, if I ever want to see an old video, that's where I go. I don't Google the band or Google videos off the band. I just go to YouTube, put in the band's name, and it's bound to be in there. But, and that's true not even just for that. It's true for, you know, setting up your guitar and amping it. It's true for setting up a recording setup for a podcast or something. Anything you want to know about how to do anything, whether it's by experts or not, obviously I look for that. But it's pretty easy to get into that shit without really knowing.
If you read about a band somewhere, are you inclined to go look for a video now? Or is it more, can I find something streaming on Amazon or whatever?
Sure, but it seems like that's just kind of the nature of searching on the internet now. I mean, when the results come back, it's like, here's that band you just pre-asked about. Oh, by the way, here's a Wikipedia article. By the way, here's a place to find sound files. By the way, here's some image files. By the way, here's the videos. You know? And it's like, holy shit, there's a wealth of information on this subject. Well, I'm going to look it up. You know? You can scarcely avoid it, you know, is what I'm getting at. So, it's just the nature of our world today. But I don't think it detracts from, you know, saying, might I enjoy this band, you know, and would have I enjoyed it if I hadn't had the videos shoved in my face, or would have I enjoyed it if I didn't know what they look like. But you do, and it is what it is, and certainly anyone growing up today is just used to that, probably.
Let me ask you this, and this is something that Wifey bust on me about, is, you know, I'll say I like a band, like Islander. She's like, those guys are like 10. What are you some little kid? She started busting balls. I'm like,
I thought she was like, what are you, robbing the cradles? Like, you know, I'm not trying to sleep with any shit. Looking for music to listen to. I'm not looking for a date.
I was like, you know, the songs are cool. What? Who cares what they look like? I mean, it's not like back in the day. If a band looked cool, I'm like, I'm checking those dudes out. They look cool.
Right.
Now it's not so much.
Right, but like we said, before the internet came out, you had no idea what the fuck they looked like.
But there is still a little bit of that in play with me, which I think is kind of silly for me. But if some guys look cool, I'm like, oh, they look pretty cool. I'd probably check them out, see what they sound like, whatever. And then if some guys look like total fucking dweeb, weirdos, morons, fuckheads.
Or posers or something.
Usually, I mean, stuff that might have sent me off the edge years ago. It's like, turn me off, like, that's going to be fucking total cheese. Right. I don't need to hear that.
Well, that's the thing. Your experience, after decades of experience, you've learned, you know, here are the kind of hallmarks of people that aren't sincere, or the hallmarks of people that are just kind of, you know, all fronting and just going for an image without really having substance behind it. It's easier to tell that shit than it used to be.
Well, you know, a band that looks kind of young, but I don't know how these guys are, I don't really care. The music's good, and you dig them, is Miss May I.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I'm the one who told you about them.
Yeah, yeah. They got a brand new record called Rise of the Lion.
Nice.
Have you heard the track Echoes?
No, I have not.
You will now.
talked about in the past with, you know, kind of the death metal along with the melodic vocals and stuff like that. They do a nice job of it. Right. Guys are good. I dig those cats. Good sound.
Cool.
But I just wonder, I mean, now there's this new avenue with YouTube getting these bands out there. I think it's a good thing. I mean, because you could basically look up any group you read about now and say, I don't know what they sound like. I want to try this, right?
Does that work for you, huh?
A little bit. I mean, sometimes I just want to hear sound clips on Amazon. There's other times I'm like, I want to kind of hear the whole song, and the only choice is to get a video. A video.
Right. I hear what you're
saying. So I go get a video, right?
And Vivian's hamster shows up?
Yes, special patrol group.
Have you got a video?
So, but I don't know. It's kind of a new...
I hear what you're saying, yeah.
I mean, it's new but old. It's just a different way to share the video.
Which I think is what people have always said, just as a quick little sort of mini tangent. It's what people have always said, that, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. All those kind of cliches you hear. And as I've gotten older, I found out that's actually true. You know, you wait long enough, then the shit that's the new shit is really, oh, well, I saw that 30 years ago. This guy was doing that exact same thing.
Right.
How is it new? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But that's how each generation has no idea what the other generation was doing or listened to, unless somebody tells them. But if they just kind of look around and go, well, no one's doing this. Let's do this. And then you do it and you find out, oh, yeah, people used to do that 30 years ago. It was really cool. And you just feel like, well, I feel like a dickhead. But, you know, that's the nature of us humans. I mean, we kind of recycle a lot of shit.
But do you think more bands are doing videos now because it's a lot cheaper to do?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Remember when we talked to Zetro, and he was saying how cheap it was to make a video now compared to back in the, you know, 80s, early 90s?
I know what you're saying, yeah, sure.
I just wonder, I think it's easier for bands to promote themselves with recording their band on their iPhone or iPad or whatever.
Right, you don't need a full-blown studio like you used to, professional... 16 or 32 track studio. You can do shit just on your fucking iPhone.
Well, I've even noticed bands will release a brand new CD and there's a DVD that comes with them performing the album.
Right, because now it's so easy for you to just put a couple of iPhones on tripods in the studio and record everything you're doing at 1080p and then process that, get a intern or some roadie or something to process it, turn it into a video that we can upload to YouTube, bam, a million hits.
Right.
You know, because that, I mean, I fall for that too. Not that I'm saying that it's not real, but I mean, I get off on that. When I see, like, oh, here's Stream Theater's latest album. Here's the behind the scenes of them making that album. It's like, shit, yeah, I want to see that. How did they come up with this brilliant shit?
Yeah.
So, I understand people get excited about that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with the new Winger record. We got it digitally, but... I want to buy the hard CD because I want to see the DVD of them making the record.
Oh, that comes with the CD?
Well, same thing with The Last Harum Scarum when they redid Mood Swings a year or so ago. I was like, I want to see Pete doing his thing and Harry doing his thing, you know?
That is the shit when you see that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, remember before? That one part where Reb comes up with that riff.
Yep.
Then you're like, holy crap moment.
Yep, because it was just like, you can do that.
And it's just magical seeing Kip's eyes like light up. He's like, dude, that's fucking awesome.
When he just goes in this totally improvised solo over the track they laid down.
Right.
And then you just see him while he's watching him. He's like, you can tell there's like a point where he just said, oh, wait, I could probably do this with it.
Yeah.
He goes in this other direction. And when he does that, he's like, Kip is meanwhile, he's just jamming. All of a sudden, he does that part and he just goes, fuck, dude, like, you're going in the zone, dude.
Yeah.
And he was just, like, ripping it
off. Well, if we ever, when we talk to Reb again, we gotta ask him about that. It's like, dude, we were watching the Four thing, and that one time when you're doing that riff for that song, you know, what was that like, dude? It looked amazing on camera, like, you guys were both freaked out. You were playing this riff.
Like, I don't know where this came from. And is that what ended up on the album?
Yeah.
Sweet. So that's even sweeter, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Instead of, like, this just happened to be take 107 out of 300, and it just looked really good for the DVD, but it's not what made it to the fucking album, because I'd be like, oh, that's kind of a shame, because that would just seem like magic, man.
Yeah, totally.
Like, rocking it out.
Oh, I know. So that's why I want the Last Winger record, the hard copy,
as well as the Harum Scarum thing.
Yep.
So those can be want to be Christmas presents. I have the records digitally, but I don't have them hard copy. I like the hard copy. You know that.
Oh, for real? Yeah. You
got. You're all digital.
Get your liner notes out. I've long since kind of gone the way of the digital and said, you know, I'm fine with that. I don't need to have because you know, believe it or not, if you like some new album.
Killed that devil dog.
No shit, we'll have to kill him again. We'll throw something at him.
Hold on. That got him. Nope.
You hit him right at the end. No, I've gotten to where the point where it's like, if I get an album and I go, oh, well, I don't know what the cover looks like or I don't know any liner notes, I could probably Google the album name and liner notes as a secondary kind of search characteristic and pull up the fucking shit I want to say.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of internet and having everything all connected. It's like, if I need to know something that isn't right here in the material I want, I could find some auxiliary material to go with it that's got whatever exactly I'm fucking
totally.
With. So, it works out pretty well. Totally. Thank goodness for modern technology.
Yeah, I mean, there are pluses and minuses. I think it hinders some stuff, but in other areas, it totally enhances the listening experience.
That's true. Yeah, you make a good point. That's true. There's times where I'm like, man, this was not possible 20 years ago, and it sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what, I think we've exhausted this topic for the most part, but it's cool. I had fun talking about it. What are these assholes doing now?
I don't know. It's apparently they get bored and they go, let's turn some shit on and see what this dial does.
Well, if... Dude, did you leave that coffee beer in the fridge inside the camper?
Yeah, I think I did.
The one that... The energy coffee thing?
Right, I think so.
Oh, great. Thank you.
So they were into it, you think?
Thanks for doing that.
You think they got thirsty, opened the fridge and said, dude, well, let's have this.
If Pimples is on... What was that? Dexatrim?
Yeah.
In coffee? In Red Bulls?
Oh, we're fucked. His head will explode.
Not that hopefully.
I complain about it. Yeah, I was going to say, we can always dream.
Well, I tell you what, let's go ahead and do a classic of the show.
Okay.
My classic, I got to go back to the Queen's Rock, right?
Very nice.
I actually listened to this today and just was freaking loving it.
Sweet.
It's off the my favorite Queen's Rock record ever, Rage for Order. This is called I Will Remember.
I've been into lately is I've been listening to some old Dangerous Toys.
Mm-hmm.
Remember them back in the day. I wonder whatever happened to them. It's too bad they didn't.
Well, they do festivals and stuff like that.
But they never really kind of kept.
Well, like, Jason
once did a new album, right?
Yeah, no, they're not
because Jason Carter was sort of his thing, or.
Well, he's doing everything under the sun. Broken Teeth. He's got that new band called Evil United. That's it.
Oh, wow.
That's the ticket. So, yeah, he's doing that. So, he's... I mean, they do it. They'll do a... We'll do a show here and there, and then. But other than that, nah.
That's too bad. Because it seemed like that could have been... It was a good band. Dangerous Toys.
Totally.
Was, you know, and it's too bad that they didn't do better than that. So.
Well, I mean, they came in, if you think about it, they came in, had success with the first record. Second record, moderate success, but, I mean, that's when grunge started rearing its ugly head.
Another casualty of grunge, yeah. You would say. Well, I just get excited because they're from Austin, so they're like a local fucking
band. And Jason's a great guy. We talked to him the one time. Yeah, Jason,
so. And he's a great vocalist.
Met him at the Bayou, Rock the Bayou thing.
Right, right. So, but anyway, you know, let's throw out, just as kind of a sort of mini tribute to him, let's throw out a little Scared.
Let's do it. Yeah, who is the man in the white vest? I'm getting nervous, becoming a mess. Is he the doctor's man to take me away? All the same damn demon from yesterday. Waking up is virtually impossible. Something in the story won't let me out. You know I'm shaking and I'm feeling sick. I guess I'm gonna need a vodka quick. Mama's lace and whiskey on the top shelf. Somehow I got caught up in my dream. Mom says I've been riding carpets on my left. Scary man standing right in front of me. And I not think I like being scared. And I wish you all were there. Tomorrow if I get my strength, I'll put my daddy's gun to use. I hate it. Feels like I'm drowning. The man's tied me up and I think he's drowning. That widow is his favorite bite. Why does the creature cling so tight? Makes a crawl on my face and neck. God, the man drives me a nervous wreck. Why am I starting to like this? You know he hasn't.
Our picks of the show.
These tickets. I swear. Anyway, I keep losing train of thought because of the morons we get over there in the camper.
It's always fucking
I think we're dead tonight. Well, I'm prepared to die. I'm going to say my last rites.
You? This is who's working with us. We're fucked.
We're Spain with all this.
I know. That's who we needed fucking with us.
He said he was coming.
Nope. He said he sent me a text at the last minute, said he had some a blow up at the kitchen. You know, people fucking up the recipe.
Yeah. Everybody's becoming a celebrity with our show except for us.
No shit.
We're the hosts. Everybody's getting, like, businesses.
We're the springboard for everybody else's success.
Shit. Anyway, my pick of the show is a band called Jolly. Thanks to Genghis, I know about this group. And thanks to Mike Portnoy, to Genghis. That's how I know
originally.
Jolly. Yeah.
I was like, who the fuck are these guys? They were fucking fantastic.
Yeah, this came out, it's not super recent, it's a year old. It's called The Audio Guide to Happiness Part 2. So it's a sequel to the first
one
record.
That we got into.
But the track I'm going to play is called You Against the World. Cool track, check it out.
Standing over my side. Losing all your troubles, then go hide.
Cool. What do you think, Paisan? What do you got over there?
Well, I've been getting into this new band. As you know, we're big fans of Angra.
Nice.
Angra's been around forever. And I think that's sort of a thing that goes on over in Brazil, which is where these bands are from. And I think they're really big fans of... Obviously, they're big fans of metal in South America. But in Brazil, particularly, they're really big fans of basically Iron Maiden and Iron Maiden-style, you know, metal, right? So, one of the bands down there, Angra, handpicked these guys to tour with them. They dug them so much. They're called Kata, I guess is how you pronounce it. And their new album is Lapis Lazuli, which I think is what you call that. It's like a jewel or gemstone or something.
Sounds like an Indian dish.
Yeah, no shit. But, well, that's the thing. They have a very... they're originally a... they're a Brazilian metal band. And in that vein, sort of kind of sound like Angra, basically, without, you know, taking away from their talent.
Mm-hmm.
And their new album is called Lapis Lazuli, and it's, you know, follows that vein. But what makes them unique, what makes them really cool, is that they have this, their lead singer guy is, is of kind of Middle Eastern origin or whatever.
Yeah.
And he wanted to introduce this sort of Arabic quality to the music. He has, like,
okay,
let's weave that into the sound.
I'm all right with that.
So he did that, and it makes it for a really cool sort of unique spin on that otherwise kind of well-worn genre. And I think you should check him out. We'll go Dealer's Choice. Any of those songs on there is a really good example of what these guys are doing. It's really strong work, so check them out.
Cool, let's do it.
Precursor to our kicking some ass.
Yeah. So if we make it out live, we thank you for listening. Well, we thank you either way.
Yeah, but I guess if we don't make it out live, then there's no point.
True. You fuck everybody.
Either way, this goes in the time capsule, put it down.
Totally. So we want to give you two big
hoos up. This is Tom from Everybody. You're listening to the Genius and Ragnar Show. Holy stuff.
Tried it all. All right, guys, you're on live with Ragman, Mono e Mono, with part of Evergrey, Tom England and Jonas. Hey, boys, how's it going?
Hi there.
Hi, man.
Hey.
We're good. Sunny Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, you guys are getting ready to play Prog Power, right?
Exactly, yep.
Oh, that is awesome. How did... Well, a lot's happened since the last record, Glorious Collision, which was a really good record, but I got to tell you, your brand new record, Hymns for the Broken, is... And I've been a fan since In Search of Truth, and oh, my God, this thing... is, I don't know if I want to say it's the best thing you've ever done, but it's pretty damn close. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
Why don't, Tom, I know it was kind of a trying period from 2011 to the present. There were rumors that you almost hung up the guitar, which would have killed me because you're one of my favorite vocalists out there, man. I got another compliment. Just... you're one of the more soulful guys, and you feel every lyric every time you sing. It would have killed me to hear you hung up the guitar. Can you kind of tell us kind of where things left off with Glorious Collision, I guess, after you guys got off tour, and what the thought process was, and then how the band kind of got back together?
Yeah, I'm going to bleep up for you. But, I mean, we came up playing from the Glorious Collision, and at the end of that tour itself, I felt like I was getting quite tired of being in a band. I felt like being in the band, and super tired of being in the band. And I think I'm coming to the drummer. I got a chance to play with Sabaton, and he asked me what I thought we would do, should do. And then I told him that he should do it, because it was the most fair thing that I could tell a friend of mine, you know, that he should go on and do something that would be better for him than hanging with a depressed 40-year-old man. but then we had a few shows, and already booked, but Hannes couldn't do them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... the only other two guys that I knew that could help saving this gig without us having to cancel and a lot of money was Jonas and Emmett. So I called them up and asked if they wanted to be like hired guns for these things, and didn't have any other thoughts at all than that. But, you know, we started there, we played these songs, and we sort of realized that we missed each other's company and definitely playing together. It was like, you know, taking on a whole full of jeans that you have been too fast to wear for 2 years. And almost it fitted again. So, and that, after that, we started debating and talking and having long meetings, and finally came to the case that it was another try. And, I'm also super happy that we did.
Oh, yeah, and it shows in this new record, which, again, I got to say, it's probably my second favorite record in line of In Search of Truth, if not just tied for first, which came out, I guess, 13 years previous. When you guys sat down and decided to do a new record, did everything, it sounds like everything just kind of fell back into place.
Yeah. Yeah, how it felt. I mean, I was really, really gorgeous with, you know, joining them. I didn't want, I was close to that, that we would end up, you know, where we were while we left a couple of years ago. But at the same time, I'm kind of really been missing playing in the I've been writing songs, song ideas, just to get out of my head, you know, and at that time I didn't even know that this was going to happen. I just wrote them for myself, basically. So when the time was up, when we decided that we were back together and we're going to do an album, song I listened to them to the rest of the band, and Tom and Rick, they presented some of their ideas, and Henrik had some song around. So everything just went very, very smoothly and naturally after that.
Well, when you go, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. There you go.
Well, I was going to say, when you guys sat down to write this, did you have any thought in mind to say, let's kind of go back to our roots? Because not really any record you've done sounds the same. But this one, to me, kind of has like the classic elements of the early days mixed with some stuff you were doing a little later on in your career. Was there any thought to say, let's get back to our roots, or was it more of, let's just sit down and see what comes out?
No, it's, I think we focus and a lot of our, we put a lot of energy to using all of our strength, both you know, Everglades band and as a you know, individual musicians, you know, bring out the best of every one of us. And there's been so much stuff with energy going along. It was so fucking natural. It's hard to explain. You know, we just got to come up with put some confidence energy that we just play better.
We didn't even have to make, any other effort than to ask the hours to put it. Because they were, very, very many every day. But other than that, everything was, the playing was great, the atmosphere was fantastic, and we just tried to capture that moment in our playing, and
Let me ask you this, as far as this record, is there a concept or a storyline that threads these songs together?
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about a person's transition from trying to find his identity to become, trying to find a new identity, really. I'm talking about myself, actually, about the last 6 years that I've been going through all these stages of rebirth, in a way. And, I realized that I was a person that I didn't want to be, and I realized that I was a musician, and I didn't know if I wanted to be a musician either. And all these facts and struggles I have sort of compiled into a storyline, which is hopefully and utterly about me. So it's super personal, but I think it also will work as a nice, I wouldn't say guide, but nice and confident for other people going through things that are similar, you know. It could be anything from being in an actual relationship or to just divorce your wife, whatever, you know, etc. These things that I'm writing about, like, so many things and so many levels that I think that's also why people are feeling that they can relate.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, I got to ask you, I tell you, the first song that really has just kicked my ass, and I got to tell you, I don't know if you'll find this humorous or not, but the first time I heard Black Undertow, I think I had to hear it 10 times before I could actually go to the next track. Man, what a solid song that is. And can you kind of give me a story of, you know, what it's about as well as how it came together?
You won't leave me.
Yeah, I mean, it is about, I mean, it's like the seventh song on the album or so. And that's, if we would use the word time analogy, I would say that that's when you have sort of tearing down the walls or the barricades, like in the lyrics, after the first battle in a way, you first face the freedom. And when it's not in the freedom that you have been fighting for, scares you and starts to put you down instead of giving you the hope and sense of, you know, liberation that you thought it would give you. So the black undertow is representing the struggling between the old and the new, I would say. And yeah.
A great song, man. A great song. Another one I really dig is actually the title track, Hymns for the Broken. Which is another just killer song. And, you know, if someone said, you know, what's your favorite song? Okay, I go Black Undertow. After that, I don't think I could pick another one because I like everything equally. And that's what's so great about this record, too, is that there's no filler. It's all solid.
All killer.
Well, yeah.
All killer.
It's all killer, yeah. All killer, no filler, baby.
Yeah. But I mean that's so nice because I have a favorite song and then I can't eat it too from any of the other songs, you know, would come next. My favorite song is The Aftermath. And everything else that we have spoken to has pretty much different songs. Well, we don't have 100 songs and nobody thinks the same, but everybody has a favorite song and it's different. Right? And each and every song has dimension, so it's like that's a new, you know, mark of quality in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Actually, all quality. Yeah, and I was going to say something, and I don't know if you guys will find this interesting, but I'm in Texas, and I go to a local gym, and I work out and stuff, and they have, like, these TV screens where they show new releases, and it's all pop or rap or something like that, and believe it or not, on the screen, I look up, and I see the cover of your record says new release, and I see Evergrey. So I think, it leads into my next question. Do you think this record is going to be a little bit bigger for you in the U.S. than maybe some previous releases? So it sounds like you guys are getting a pretty good push if I'm seeing advertisement in the gym of all places for your new record, which I think is awesome.
That's only because it's like a pop rap album. Yeah, but I mean, it's we also have this and all these bowling halls, right? We have this video, the Brunswick, you know. So we have things working for us on this album that we never had before. I mean, of course, we do all the records today. I mean, we co-host for them from Heaven and Black, three video films, and we can get successful now. We got to make sure that they recognize us. It's providing right for here.
Well, it definitely sounds like you guys are getting really good support. Like I said, if I'm seeing stuff like that, which, like I said, if this is an album that starts getting some play over here, I think it's going to be huge for you, to be honest with me. That leads into another question. What about touring? I know you're playing Prog Power, but is there a plan to maybe come over and play some dates in the U.S.?
Dude, we would like nothing else but to do that for the rest of our lives, but we need to make sure that we do things in the right way now, you know. And since we've been planning this all along, we're not going to let go of our master plan. So we said that we wanted to release the first single and see what the reaction was to that. And as they are tremendous, we now can sit down with our people and try to figure out and see if they want to work with us.
Well, I know if you guys got to play over here, you'd be huge. I was lucky enough to catch you over in Paris several years ago when y'all opened up for James LaBrie. And
really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I talked my wife. I said, "Hey, I'll take you to Paris." "Oh yeah, by the way, we're going to see James LaBrie in Evergreen."
Oh, that's romantic. Oh, God. By the way, what do you think about going to Switzerland? All right.
Yeah. She loves Paris, so I was like, okay, I can tie this into a concert. And I got to tell you, I've seen a lot of shows, but you may laugh at me. I cried with joy when I saw you guys take the stage because I wanted to see you perform so bad. And I just want other people to be able to see what I saw. It was such an amazing night.
Thank you so much. That was a great show. I remember that. We fucking destroyed. But it is interesting. Okay. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. No, I remember. That show, James LaBrie, and then like 5 minutes after the show, we had to run. But like a couple of bucks to play like a thing, like a cruise, right? Yeah. A award show. Yeah.
Well, I got a question. One of my favorite DVDs is y'all's live DVD that y'all put out. Night to Remember. That came out, I guess, 10 years ago. Is there thought to do something on this tour, or is there even plans to even think about doing something like that in the future?
You know what? The thing is that, yes, there are plans, but the thing is that it's so goddamn expensive to do this today, because we have come to work with the people that are the most expensive in the world. And they are also part of a whole new scene, I guess. We wouldn't choose to work with them past the DVD. Since they also did the last one, which was highly successful. We'll see how we can plan this out. Maybe we'll have to do some crowdfunding thing or whatever. I think it would be a lot to ask for AFM to pay $100,000 for that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, guys, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans?
Thank you so much for sticking by and being there and loving our music.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for everything.
Thank you.
Well, I got one more question before we sign off here. To write out this interview, I want you guys to pick a track that off the new record that you'd like us to ride this interview out with.
We would like to what?
A track that you'd like us to ride the interview out with. What's I guess playing live, since you're playing live, what would be one of your favorite tracks to play live right now off the new record?
A New Dawn. Yeah?
Yeah, okay. That's a killer. Awesome. Well, guys, we want to thank you for coming on the RightToRock.com on the Genghis and Ragman show. As always, it's an honor to talk to you, and we wish you the most of luck.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
This has been Genghis
and Ragman,
and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X, Adam and Joseph, have lent us 13 to finish the show. So what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out. And keep checking us out. And horns up.